Good morning, girls. This is Darla Shine. Welcome to the Happy Housewives Club podcast. I know you're all listening and you're all excited because today we have on Dr. Furman again, who's going to talk to us about food addiction. Now, I know a lot of us crave food, we want food, and it has become our best friend. And so we're going to talk to him in a minute about that. And before we get to Dr. Furman, I want to encourage all of our moms to sign up for our boot camp weight loss system. We're going to not just lose weight, but we're going to learn how to eat healthy, we're going to stay alive, and we're going to do it together. So I want you to be excited about this. Winter is here. We're going to be cooped up in our houses. We're going to learn how to eat right. We're going to exercise, and we're going to be supportive, and we're going to be there to help each other. So let me get to Dr. Furman. Dr. Furman, welcome.
Oh, great to be here, Darla.
I'm so excited to have you on again. I know that our ladies loved listening to you last week. We talked about how we can raise our children eating healthier food, but a lot of the moms are dealing with issues of losing weight. And you have a book out, Eat to Live, which is a fabulous book. And women can get more information on your website, which is drfurman.com. But why are we addicted to food so much? Why do women look to eat whenever we have a problem? What's going on?
Well, you know, that's the main issue here, because I'm claiming that the main reason, not the only reason, but that the main reason we have such an overweight society is that food is addicting. And that it's not just all about hunger here. It's about that when you eat a diet that's too low in nutrients, we build up waste products in our tissues. You see, our cells are like a little factory. They produce product and they make waste products that have to be eliminated. And we don't take in sufficient phytochemicals and antioxidants. We build up these waste products in our tissues. And then a couple of hours after we've finished eating, we're not digesting food anymore, that's when the body tries to remove these substances. That's when we mobilize them into our circulation. And that's when we feel shaky, lightheaded, abdominal spasms, stomach fluttering, mental confusion. In other words, we feel ill, and I'm saying that these are not real hunger. These are withdrawal symptoms from your toxicity of your diet, and this toxicity occurs because the nutrient level in your diet is too low. So you know how a person drinks 5 cups of coffee a day?
Right.
And then they stop coffee, and they feel bad for a week, right? They feel headachy and shaky. Well, here's the point. When you stop doing something that's harmful to you or not healthful, when you stop it, that's when you feel bad. If you take taking it in, you feel better. So I could fix your coffee withdrawal headaches by giving you a cup of coffee every hour, or I can give you Eskit, Wygain, Vanquish, Excedrin, Furanol, Furoset. In other words, I can give you drugs to make you feel better by giving you, which whose active ingredient are barbiturates or caffeine or narcotics. That'll make you feel better too. Or you can go to the drug pusher and feel better.
So are you saying that food is a drug? If you're not eating the right food, it's like a drug, it's addiction. And
that's
so
right.
We just get more for our next high, our next fix, like a sugar fix?
That's right. I'm saying that feeling better, people want to feel better. So they have to keep eating. If they don't overeat on calories, they're going to feel too ill. So diets don't work. See, only 2 people out of 100 are successful losing weight permanently on a diet. And the reason they don't work is because it's like telling a person to breathe less air.
Well,
instead of 14 breaths a minute, it breathes 13. They're going to feel too sick as they reduce their calories because they need to overeat to feel well. Because they got to overeat to stop the detoxification symptoms that they would normally get from their toxicity of their diet.
All right, but before we get on to all of these little details, I want to ask you a few things. I'm going to throw out some diets out there to you. What about the Atkins diet? What do you think about that diet?
Well, I would tell people that if you're going to follow a diet like that, you should live real close to a hospital, very close to a hospital.
Now, didn't Dr. Atkins actually die of heart disease? Right?
Yeah, yes, he had heart disease for many years before he died. He's had cardiac procedures. He's known to have had a heart attack, and so when he died, when he just suddenly fell and hit his head and was in the ICU, they didn't really tell the public whether he slipped on the ice, whether he had a heart attack. But the medical records from the hospital seems to indicate that he did have a heart attack, and that was the cause of his fall.
But how can anyone think that eating all of this red meat could possibly be good for you?
Well, You know, I don't think exactly the point. I mean, how Atkins died or not isn't the issue. He was in his 70s. But the point I make to people is that clearly we have 50,000 medical studies that show that the healthiest way to eat. And we know that it's no controversy here. The medical, or I should say the scientific community, is in agreement that Americans eat 40% of calories from animal product, and that's too much already. We eat 51% of calories from processed foods and junk food, and that's way too much already. And we only eat 4% of calories from fruits and vegetables, beans, nuts, and seeds, and that's way too little.
Right.
So clearly we have to reduce animal product consumption, not increase it.
Right. But you know, the thing is, this is what I say to my women on my website, and tell me if you agree. I don't even agree that you should ever go on a diet, but if you just start eating healthfully, the pounds should come off. But here's the problem, Dr. Furman. We have nothing to do in this society. It's boring. Life is boring. So there's nothing to do but to eat. You know, when you have nothing to do, what do? You go out to dinner. When you're at the mall, you have nothing to do. What do? You go to the food court. You know, our whole lives revolve around food. And there's usually bad food choices. So how do you, even to get to the next step to say, okay, I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to lose weight, how do you get past that step of food being really your best friend? Because there's nothing else to do.
It's a good point. The point you're making is that hunger is multidimensional. And people oversimplify hunger, how much calories you take in. We're talking about that it's affected by nutrients. It's affected by the volume or bulk of the food. It's affected by your recreational activities and your emotional cravings and using its food as a solace for a painful and boring world. I mean, all these things play a role. That's why it's so important to address all these issues. But I'm saying something really unique and new here. I'm saying that unless you eat enough, because there's so many dimensions to hunger, that I'm saying if you eat sufficient amount of the high volume, low calorie, high nutrient food, then you're not going to want to have that bagel or chocolate chip cookie at the mall because you're not going to feel comfortable eating it. Your stomach's going to be filled up. You're not going to be hungry, and it's not going to taste as good. So it's like if you went to, a buffet at Atlantic City, right? And you walk outside after stuffing yourself, and I'll be waiting for you.
I love those buffets in Atlantic City.
Okay.
you can eat for $9.99. This is the American system. As much as you can stuff in your face for $9.99, right?
Right. So this is what's going to be. So next time you go there, let me know, and I'll be waiting for you in the parking lot with an apple in my hand. And as you walk out, when I'll have that apple, and I'll say, Darla, you want the apple? And you're going to look at me like I'm nuts, and you're going to say, what, an apple? Maybe an ice cream cone, not an apple. But then I'll say, okay, well, let's try an experiment. Now don't eat for 2 days, and then I'll give you the apple. And you'll say to me, wow, that's the best apple I ever tasted. I never knew an apple could taste that good. Where'd you get that apple? Some kind of special organic imported apple? You know, but here's the point is that people over time, once they get rid of their toxic hunger, once they get rid of those feelings of shaky and weakness and headache and stomach cramping, and they learn that they don't feel like eating food, it doesn't taste good, and they realize how great food tastes when they're really hungry, and get rid of the painful hunger, get back in touch with true hunger, they realize how much more pleasure eating when they're hungry is, and they get put back in touch with their natural instinct of how much food to eat, and they start looking better, feeling better, and not diet. This is the amount of food they desire, and the secret of this solution, the secret here is to eat sufficient amount, a large amount of this high-volume food. And then when you're going to a party or going to the mall, you ate before you went. You're filled up.
Okay,
your stomach can only hold a liter of food.
What would be, okay, you say that, but you know the American way is pile it on as much as you can. Look at those hoagie heroes.
Mm-hmm.
My husband goes to the Giants game, and they sit and have this beforehand tailgate party. And I look around, and I see these people. They take like a 12-inch long hoagie hero filled with salami, and they stuff that all into their stomach.
I agree with you. And that's why it's hard to listen to this information for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes and come to the complete and know enough to know how to really successfully do this. You have to also know that nobody has to have a heart attack. 51% of Americans die of heart disease, yet 100 years ago, only 2% of the population had heart attacks. In other words, you don't have to have cancer. You don't have to be demented in a nursing home. You don't have to have strokes. In other words, people have to be motivated by multiple reasons. And the person's ability to do the whole program and succeed is also based on the knowledge they have.
But
they
isn't living a motivation enough? Shouldn't there be motivation enough? I have girls on my website who will not give up eating, you know, their chips or their sugar. The girl down the block who lives two houses away from me, every day she eats an Entenmann's cake. And she tells me I'm addicted to it. But how come living isn't motivation enough? When is that going to be motivation enough?
You know, I think that these people, though, they've got society tells them that they're not in control of their health destiny. That they're, you know, we live in our God in this society today is the drug companies and the doctors. And that's, of course, they think that, you know, they're going to be saved after $400 billion in cancer research. We're going to come up with this magic pill that's going to save them. And when you get sick, you're going to go to a doctor, he's going to give you a pill, and it's going to make you live longer. They don't understand that it doesn't work. It's really, they've been tricked. They've been scammed. They're in control. They make choices, and their choices, they build the body they earn by what they put in their mouth. And maybe every person in this world is not going to successfully become thin and healthy. Maybe still a lot of them are going to be sickly. You know, I don't expect to say that all people are going to listen to this type of information, read my books, you know, and all of a sudden say everything's going to be rosy-cozy. You know, a lot of people are so addicted to food, they're never going to change. A lot of people are going to continue to smoke cigarettes. But I think my niche is to tell those people that want to not have a heart attack, want to not be demented, want to get back to their ideal weight, want to live into the late 90s or early 100s with healthy life expectancy, without being a medical cripple, without having, you know, running back and forth with kidney stones and gallstones and bypass surgeries and all kinds of dangerous, you know, surgeries and procedures and living in hospitals and getting antibiotics. I want to tell those people that we have information today that is such a blessing, that gives us the opportunity to be healthier than ever before it could be possible in human history. That with the nutritional excellence that science has given us, and the fact that we have jet planes and refrigerated jets, and we have frozen food, and we can eat actually green vegetables all year round, and we can actually eat, you know, the things we could eat, blueberries and pomegranate juice, and we could get flax seeds, and we can get, we have so much knowledge how to make nutritional excellence and put it into action, make it taste great. So I'm not saying we have to appeal to everybody, because a lot of people just choose to die 30 years younger. Right. And that's their right, I guess, you know?
Well, I have, okay, my women, my moms, we want to lose weight and we want to be healthy. So to put us on the first step, what, give us like a 3 or 5 step program right now. In your book, Eat to Live, what are you telling people, the basic things we have to do? Number one, I'm giving you an example. Is it, you know, get rid of anything man-made? Like I try to live by the rule, don't eat anything man-made.
Right.
Okay, so give us your 5 tips. Like what is, you know, in layman terms, easy way to adjust to change our lifestyles? What should we do?
All right, here's the easiest way, because the most important thing here is the first step is not what to eliminate. The first step is what to include. Because don't forget what I'm saying, unless you meet your nutrient needs with enough phytonutrients and antioxidants, you're never going to succeed at cutting these things out. So the first thing is how much you have to eat of the healthy stuff. And that means that I want people to eat 2 salads a day, a salad before lunch and a salad before dinner, and the total should be at least 1 pound of raw vegetables a day. And
okay,
you're going to say, 1 pound of raw vegetables a day? How can you eat 1 pound of raw vegetables a day, you know?
But let's really, I want you to break this down for all of my women, because this is basic information that they need. Is there a specific lettuce? Like, I don't think iceberg lettuce does anything for you. Should they be eating soft green lettuce?
Well, certainly the greener the lettuce, the more nutrients. But keep in mind, I'm not saying not to eat iceberg either, because don't forget, when I go through the nutrient per calorie density of foods, right? It's nutrients per calorie we're looking at. So since iceberg is so low in calories, it doesn't have to have a lot of nutrients in it, because we're looking at the nutrients we get per calorie. It's going to fill you up, and it's going to add bulk and fiber. We don't complain about drinking water and say water is bad for us because it's not high in nutrients. It doesn't have to be because there's no calories in it.
Okay,
you follow me?
And so salads, lunch and dinner, and in those salads we should have, right, chopped apples, maybe
yeah, we have.
Some
oh,
nuts.
That's right. We have to have 5 to 8 fresh fruits a day, too.
So we could put that in the salad. I like
that. That's right. We make fruity dressings. We make, you know, a pistachio mustard dressing. I mean, what did I say that wrong? Oh, yeah. We make a blueberry banana dressing, you know, a cashew orange dressing with lemon, blood orange vinegar, cashew nuts and orange juice. It is so good you wouldn't believe it. You want to take the most delicious dressing you ever tasted. You just whip up some either orange juice or an orange with just a small handful of raw cashews, some lemon, and a little blood orange vinegar or any other vinegar you have in the house. The blood orange is the best flavored, but of course, and you will taste so gourmet. You'll just eat a tremendous amount of raw vegetables with this delicious tasting dressing. But you've also taken the sterols and the stanols and the lignans in the dressing. The dressing is healthy too. But the point here is snow peas, shredded beets, cucumbers, fennel, tomatoes. A tomato could be half a pound on itself, right?
Right. Cucumbers. I try to always include tomato, and I like to include cabbage, raw cabbage, because isn't that good for your intestines, right?
Oh, you know, unbelievably healthy for you. If you can shred some raw cabbage on that or put some watercress, those are called cruciferous vegetables.
Right.
And they have isothiocyanates in them. We call them ITCs for short. You could look up ITC in a medical search engine. You'll get about about 300 studies showing that it's the most powerful anti-cancer compound present in food. It's in the cruciferous family. And it's sensitive to cooking. So if you eat some raw cabbage shredded onto your salad, like red cabbage on your salad, tremendously healthful. And here's what I'm saying to people, that by doing that, this is how you suppress your appetite. This is how you control your food cravings. This is how you don't overeat. By putting that raw cabbage, by putting those cucumbers, those
right.
snow peas,
so
by shredding beets and carrots.
Fill up on salad.
Try and fill up on salad.
Right.
And then you have fresh fruit in the same meal. And then you have one or two pieces of fresh fruit, a grapefruit, a couple of kiwis, a box of raspberries or blueberries. Don't forget, those are all very low-calorie foods with very high nutrient per calorie densities. Don't be afraid of fruit because of the sugar, because some of these fruits are very low. The amount of sugar you get is very low because
the
very amount of calories.
I've never been afraid of the fruit with the sugar thing. I always eat as much fruit as I want. That
Great.
Has never been an issue to me. And I like to slice avocado and put it on the salad because if these are healthy, the way I try and look at it is if it's real healthy fruits and sugar, and, you know, then that's okay.
That's exactly right, because nature made it with the nutrients that go along with the sugar. When you eat a donut or when you eat, you know, sugar from a, you know, some from a artificial something, you're not getting nature's protective symphony.
Okay.
Of those nutrients that came along in that fruit. Half of them haven't been discovered yet. We know they protect cancer. We don't even still know all the reasons why yet.
Okay, so once our girls are eating two salads a day, they're going to drink water all day long. I like to squeeze lemon into my water.
Great.
Okay, what's the next thing we could do? Is it one piece of meat a day? Is it one piece of fish a day?
No, it's they haven't gotten enough cooked vegetables in that. They've got to have now at least a pound of cooked greens, too.
So besides
it's not
the two
enough.
Salads, we need to
besides
have
the
greens.
Two salads and the five to eat fresh fruits, they've got to eat the pound of cooked greens. You know what?
Oh, my God, this is annoying. Do you see women already complaining? I could hear
They're going to be screaming. I know. Yeah, what do you think? I'm going to eat crazy? Am I a rabbit here? But, you know, but okay, you know, but here's the point. My 6-year-old daughter takes a box of frozen broccoli to school with her. It's only 8 ounces. It's not that much vegetables. What is a pound of steamed Brussels sprouts?
Okay,
you know?
So.
One box of broccoli is 8 ounces, not 10 ounces, you know. No, it's 10 ounces. One box of frozen broccoli is 10 ounces.
And why do you say it has to be cooked? Why cooked?
Okay, because when you cook these vegetables, you make a lot of the nutrients more absorbable, and you break down the cellulose, so you make it so a person can accommodate more vegetables. Even though you lose some of the nutrients with cooking, the person can't eat enough raw vegetables to make up for what they would be able to consume.
Okay.
2 pounds of vegetables raw is harder to consume than a pound raw and a pound cooked.
Okay,
and in that pound cooked,
yeah.
They're going to get some absorption of certain carotenoids and certain compounds that would have been lost in the raw state.
Okay, but what about when you say cooked? Couldn't it be like squash soup? Would that be considered?
Yeah. Okay. They could put it into a soup.
Right.
They can make it into a stew. You know, here's a great stew they should make with you put an eggplants, mushrooms, tomatoes, peppers, and a little Brussels sprouts or bok choy with garlic and onion, and cumin, turmeric, savorings, and spices. But then you throw currants into it, and you cut up some fruit into it. Because when you put raisins into it, raisins, you'll get a raisin on your spoon or fork sometimes, and sometimes you won't. But when you use currants, the little baby raisins, then you get one of those flavorful raisin-like flavors with the spices on every spoonful or mouthful, and it adds a delicious, unique taste to the vegetable dish.
It's funny you say that dish because Friday night my husband and I went out to dinner at this new posh restaurant over here, and I ordered vegetable stew.
Right.
And it sounds very similar to what you said. It was delicious.
Right. You know, what I do is I teach people how to make these healthy foods taste great. We make sorbets that taste great. We make smoothies. We make salad dressings that knock your socks off with gourmet flavor. We make it so people say, oh, I don't like to eat healthy. Everybody knows you're supposed to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, but I don't like vegetables. That's their objection, right? So I have a kitchen and I have chefs that work with me, and we show people how you can make the healthy food taste great. And I'm saying the secret to not eating the chips and not eating they know they shouldn't be eating chocolate chip cookies and potato chips. They already know that. But the secret to not eating that is making the healthy food taste great. So they fill up on the healthy food. They enjoy it. They make the great tasting soups. They make the great tasting salads, the great tasting sorbets. And now that's the method via which they can avoid having to want to put the food in their mouth recreationally and addictively eat every 10 seconds.
Okay, so once we're eating our salads, we're eating our cooked vegetables, I have a question for you. Is it okay if you're making a homemade apple pie, if you're making a homemade pumpkin pie, if you're making a homemade cake from scratch, is that okay for your family? I mean, a lot of women, these are traditional things that I'm not willing to give up in my diet. But is that okay once in a while that we can, you know, we're using all fresh vegetables?
Well, Darla, that's exactly the point. I mean, you could come to my house tonight for dinner. Are you in the area? We'll serve you a cake that will have beets in the cake. It'll have carrots in the cake. It'll have whole wheat. It'll have dates and raisins in the cake. It'll have apples and blueberries in the cake. It'll have a dressing, a cream icing on top made of soy milk, macadamia nut, and date sugar. So it's all natural. The dressing itself is healthy, made from macadamia nuts whipped and blended. And you'll say, wow, with a little lemon in it. And you'll say, wow, that is a fantastic cake. What is it? Where did you get this cake from? And I'll say, do you know that cake is 80% vegetables? You know, there's really the amount of flour in that cake is only 20% of whole grain flour, that the 80% is made from shredded vegetables, and it has the raisins and fruits to flavor it, and there's no sugar in the cake, and you have a delicious icing. Why can't we teach people how to make the cakes even healthier?
Right. So basically, your whole criteria is getting back to basics. Basically, you're living in the 21st century, but really you're not. You're living in like the 17th century. You're making your foods from the ingredients that was God-given on this earth.
Exactly.
And not the difference is now we're taking all this pre-made crap, you know, and using all this stuff. You know, my son, you know, yesterday I bought organic cocoa powder. And I was making him homemade, you know, chocolate milk with milk in the pan. And he's like, Mommy, you know, the other day he went to his friend's house. He's like, why don't you just get the one out of the packet that you open? It has little mini marshmallows in it.
Right.
And I don't even know if what I was giving him yesterday is good, but I know it's better than those little packets.
But I make my kids a cocoa shake, too. But I put spinach in the shake. I put kale in the shake. I put pomegranate juice in the shake. I put kiwis in it. And then I put a banana and I put the cocoa in. And it tastes chocolatey. It tastes delicious. And they're getting it instead of – so in other words, I made it healthily, and it was a vehicle for me to deliver them the spinach and kale into their bodies.
Right.
And if you put – if they don't like the green color, the little cocoa powder makes it brown. And if you want to leave it green and make them a strawberry banana shake and leave a little spinach in there, you can pour it into a colored cup with a little cover on top with a straw. They won't even see the green color, and they don't even know the greens are in there. And that's so you start with a little bit of greens and you add more. But of course, you know, if you eat like other Americans, what happens is it becomes normal to be overweight. It would be abnormal to be thin. It's normal to develop heart disease, dementia, cancer. It's normal to live in pain in your later years. I'm saying don't be normal. We have to completely rethink this, and we have to really try to realize that we can put science into action here and get back to the basics. You know, when you said to me this is like going back to the 1700s, let me ask you a question. The average American male lives to be 74 years old today. What did the average Renaissance artist, because we have data on the lifespans of 150 Renaissance artists who lived in the 14th century, 700 years ago, how long did they live?
Well, from what I've heard in the media is that people used to have a shorter lifespan. Is that true or not?
No, it's false. It's apparently they use that in the media because it's a myth. Because it looks that way because women died during childbirth. One of every nine women died during childbirth back then. And also, a lot of deaths occurred in the first year of life. There was a high infant mortality and early childhood mortality. So it makes it look like we're living longer. But if you look at adults who lived past their childhood, they lived much longer back then than they did now. And the average Renaissance artist lived to be 88 and a half. Where the average, and that's their males now, and the average male lived to be 74 and a half. There's nowhere in the world today where the average males live 88 and a half. You had to go back in time to get that. You follow me?
Right.
When
so
food, when they ate basic, when they ate simpler foods that nature or God made.
Right. Okay, but I want to ask you this. When our moms, when the women on my website are going to start this, they're going to start eating healthier, when they start to go through a little bit of toxic, you know, I don't even know how to call it, withdrawal. And, you know, they're giving up their diet soda, they're giving up their Entenmann's cakes, and they are feeling miserable and shaky. What natural substance can you give us? Give me an idea of what's going to boost our hormonal level. What's going to make us feel better? What piece of fruit or vegetable can we use to help us?
Cocaine. Just snort a little cocaine. You'll feel great. You know, but keep in mind, it only lasts for 5 days. Feeling ill only is going to last for 4 or 5 days. Don't forget, it's not going to feel ill forever. But the best way to get better quick is through abstinence, you know, is to get, for any addiction. See, this is, you have to treat food as an addiction here. And they're going to have to feel a little worse for a few days. But with support, they can do it. I mean, clearly, it's okay. I say overeat if you have to. But if you want to feel better, then you won't diet and go for weight loss in the first couple of weeks. But let's at least detox. If you have to eat more frequently and don't worry about your weight dropping, then eat more frequently. But overeat the right foods and let your body finish detoxing, because then, you know, we can slow down the detox. You're not feeling that bad. But at least then you'll be able to really lose weight, because you'll be back in touch with your natural body's instincts, and you won't feel like eating so much once we've got your nutrients levels high enough.
And what do you think about coffee?
I think coffee leads to overeating, because when the person's caffeine level dips between meals, they start to feel shaky or lightheaded, and half the time they're not going to go for a cup of coffee. Half the time they're going to go for food to feel better.
What if somebody just drinks, because this is me, I want to know, okay. What if someone just drinks, I drink one big cup of coffee in the morning and that's it?
Well, most likely the one cup of coffee is not going to be an issue, but for some people it can. So we have to look into that person's, how they're feeling, and if they're getting back in touch with true hunger, and whether they're overeating, and whether it's interfering with sleep. So some people are bothered by one cup, some people aren't bothered unless they take two or three cups. So I think it varies from person to person. And we did medical studies on that, and we found that some people have enzymes that break down the caffeine quicker than others. And those that don't have the enzymes, that they're heterozygous, in other words, they're for the enzyme, it's called homozygous, means you have both caffeine breaking down enzymes, that for those people, coffee's harmful, and for the other half, coffee is not harmful. So it does vary from person to person.
But regardless, I don't think any woman, we want to say that nobody should have more than two cups a day. Shouldn't we just put that out there?
Yes, we should.
Okay, and what about alcohol? I have, you know, my moms are drinking, a lot of them are drinking one glass of red wine every single night. Some women are drinking beer. What do you think about alcohol?
Well, I think that alcohol is linked to higher rates of breast cancer in women. But I certainly think that under like four glasses a week, it doesn't show a significant risk. So I think that if you need that to stay on the diet and you enjoy it, I think it should be okay. But obviously you don't want to encourage alcohol use, because you're afraid then people will go overboard and they'll drink extra alcohol, and then you're going to get into trouble with it. But even what I'm saying is, really, as you go closer to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 glasses a week, you start to see breast cancer rates increase a little bit.
Now, I've never heard that studied, and I've never heard anyone say that before.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost every doctor knows it. That's why that's why most medical associations don't recommend women drink alcohol.
That's very interesting. All right, so we are going to eat our salads, we're going to drink our water, we're going to cut down the alcohol, we're going to cut down the coffee. And is there anything else that you, and every one of my moms, I want you to go to drfurman.com and order Eat to Live. I want you to eat to live. That's how much better can we say that?
Right.
Don't eat to die. Eat to live. Eat healthy foods, bake pumpkins, bake sweet potatoes. Right now, isn't it important, Dr. Furman? I'm always saying, eat what's in season. Isn't it meant to be for your body for a certain reason? Don't we need seasonal fruits and vegetables?
Well, I mean, I guess I agree with that, but I also see that there are opportunity to eat certain things all year round that we couldn't do in human history. Gives us the opportunity to live longer than ever before possible in human history if we take advantage of that concept, whereas right now we're living in a toxic food environment. Instead of people living healthier than ever before, they're eating more low nutrients and more toxic waste products than ever before.
Right,
in human
but they're
history.
Eating Cheez-Its and cheese doodles. What I'm saying is, I'm a little bit afraid, Dr. Furman, I have to tell you, that in February the blueberries are coming from Ecuador, or I don't know where they're coming from.
You could get frozen blueberries, though. You can get frozen blueberries coming from this country that are not treated with pests, that are really almost pesticide free. And I'm saying, go ahead, eat the frozen food. It's great for you.
Okay. And you could put that into your pancake batter, your fresh pancake batter, maybe with your fresh flour. Dr. Furman, I think that getting back to basics, getting back to the way things used to be, cooking real foods. The women have to get home. They have to prepare their own meals. I had one mom, right, and Jamie, don't get mad, but one mom wrote that she feels healthier because now she walked to Taco Bell instead of driving.
Oh, my goodness.
And cut out fast food. Doctor, can you just tell these women no fast food under any circumstances?
Well, they're only get one body in this life. You don't get a new one once you damage the first one. And unfortunately, they've been confused. Even my 6-year-old daughter says to me, "Don't these people love their children? Don't they know the body is made up of what they eat? How do they put that stuff into their body?" But in any case, I think that they just see everybody else doing it, so it's like socially acceptable to do it that way.
Right.
But clearly, I think that we don't have to cook every single night of the week to do this. You can still cook on Wednesdays and Sundays and eat leftovers for a couple of nights. I mean, I want to show people that. Leave some time to exercise. You don't have to be slaving in the kitchen. You can make a giant pot of soup that lasts for the whole week. You can make, we make a big stew and then we eat it for 3 or 4 days. So I want to show people that they can do it. They can make it taste good. They don't have to be slaves in the kitchen the whole time to do this. But if you really want the best out of it, you do have to put some work into it.
You have to put some work into it. Chop vegetables. Make a beautiful salad for your family. What a wonderful gift. Fresh food, fresh fruits and vegetables. Dr. Furman, thank you so much. We love having you on. I love hearing what you have to say. I think that you're fabulous. Girls, I want you to go to drfurman.com. I want you to get Eat to Live. I want you to read this book because I want you all to live. I do not want any of our moms in the Happy Housewives Club to have cancer. I don't want there to be any issues. Please, let's all get together. Let's make a total decision that we're going to change our lifestyles and we're going to become healthy and we're going to be here for what, 88 years? No, I say 95, I over 100. Let's push the limit. Dr. Furman, thank you so much.
Women live longer than men.
Oh, you see? That's
much
good.
Longer.
Because
and
I
also, wanna... what's 88? Let's do better than people did 700 years ago, right? Much better than that.
Well, you know what, Dr. Furman, before we end this, I'm going to tell you, I have always this feeling of doom. And all of my girls on the website know it because I'm constantly writing about it. Like, I'm always waiting every day. Is this going to be the day that I have cancer? Is this my day? Is this my time? Because I feel like I'm sitting on this ticking clock and I'm trying to eat as healthy as I can. I'm juicing. I'm eating fruits and vegetables. You know, but I constantly have this pain in my left boob. But now I'm drinking noni juice and, juicing more. And I think that this feeling of doom that it's going to be us one time or another is also affecting our brains where we think, oh, well, it's going to happen anyway. But you're saying
right.
It doesn't have to happen.
Exactly. And I'm saying that when you give women the fact that they can control their health destiny, that they are going to are what they eat, and it's not just luck, and everything is not just negative out there in the scientific literature, then that's going to take away that fearing of doom and that feeling of, oh, I'm waiting to be struck down at any minute. And I think that it's a good point you're making.
Well, I want to have you on again soon to talk about breast cancer.
Terrific.
And I want to focus on that because every one of my moms is just terrified of that and exactly what we can do to avoid that. And, I'm reading pros and cons about mammography, and so I want to talk to you about that next time. But you have a great day, and thank you for being on.
Oh, thank you, darling. Have a great day, too.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.